Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, this morning in the house, there's great potential for changed lives. In that moment of praise, we opened up the ground of our life as good ground and said, God, plant something in me. He loves that opportunity. He is, I heard him say this as we were entering into worship today, he's about breaking the bad so the good can germinate, grow, produce fruit. See, already there, if you've been coming to church for a little while, there's so much seed of God's word in you that you'll be heavy with it unless it starts growing. See, sometimes we think, what's wrong with me? I need to produce fruit. Well, we have to water it a little bit. Today, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show you how to do some watering, how to keep yourself encouraged. We're talking about a process as we talk about what kind of church we are and how we value God's word. You know, it's one thing to say we value God's word. It's another thing to allow his word to change our value. And it's not just the way we think, but it's the outcome of our thought life. He doesn't just want us to think right. He wants us to get the benefit of right thinking. Right thinking means putting us back to what God had in mind in the first place. He didn't have any bad in store for us. He didn't plan any of it. That was the devil. We know that from John 10. Jesus himself said so. We know God had only good in mind. So what God's doing every time we get a hold of his word and we allow the Holy Spirit to help us is he's breaking the stronghold, he's breaking the bad and giving us the good. And what he's actually doing is we get in a position where we can believe it so we can receive it. If all you've had is a lot of bad news and regarding an area in your life, it might take a little while to break through the bad with something good. Now, you'd think you'd take the bad and hit a hammer to it, but we use God's word. God's word eventually will cause you to not believe the bad news anymore, the bad report, even if it seems like a fact of your life. And his word will convince you to believe something higher than your own thoughts, to believe God's thoughts. It's not the power of positive thinking because we're some great people. It's the power of the Holy Spirit being revealed through God's word that changes our thinking to be more like God all the time. What's God's kind of thinking? Jesus proved what it was. He went around doing good and healing all that were possessed of the devil. He went around doing good. He went around seeing good, expecting good. It wasn't that he observed everything was wonderful. He walked into problems all the time. Jesus walked into people in need all the time, but he could see through the need because he knew what the promise of the Father was. The promise of the Father was the person of the Holy Spirit who would come and help people get out of any kind of mess that they're in. Now, when we study the scripture today, I said a few Sundays ago, and it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me, that today we would minister in the altar. Now, the reason we minister into the altar particularly is today is for healing. Why? There's tangible anointing present. I perceive that this morning. Why? To help you stir up faith in what the Word says, that it's true and it's all about you. I used to look at the Word sometimes and think, well, I wonder if that applies to me. You're alive. It applies to you. You're born again. It's all about you. Because the Word in the New Testament church, the New Testament is written to the New Testament church. So I look particularly to the things Jesus said. Because I know Hebrews 13:8 says the same Jesus that was walking in the earth in person doing miracles is the same yesterday and today and in my future. That's Hebrews 13:8. That means what he did before he will do again. It's a matter of us believing that he is the same. Believing that he will do it again and then on our own part believing he'll do it for me. Believing that he loves me that much. Sometimes we have to be talked into being loved by God. Because we're kind of down on ourselves. We think God's a performance God. Well, they looked that way in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus came and he did the performance. He lived the perfect life. He died the gruesome death. He rose from the grave triumphant. And now we can walk in what he provided. Now, that sounds easy. It's not going to be easy. You got to be convinced. He did it for me. When I think of healing, I think of the cross. He took a beating. That was for me. But when he rose from the grave, that was really for me. Well, he wasn't stopped by it. So when I experience something, whether it's physical or mental, the scripture says if I take a beating or something's wrong and I want it right, I look to Jesus. He was the author. When he came out of the grave, he authored my life. He reauthored it. He reordered it. He said, I did this for you. I have to decide if I'm going to believe that author or this one or some other voice speaking. What's my favorite author going to be? The one that's the author of life. New life, life abundant, life that displaces anything that's wrong. Today, my desire is that the Holy Spirit will speak through me in a way that I will convince you, because he's convincing, to change your mind about something. I particularly have a passion for people who are caught in a situation that's long-standing and they've been long ago talked out of believing God's word. I like you because I have been like you. We can be talked out of things so easily, but it seems like it's difficult to talk us into something we've already been talked out of. Today, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I'm simply a vessel. So if something pierces your heart, it's the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the person of God saying, I want this for you. Today, when he does that in your heart, if you respond to him in faith, believing, he can move in a way that you've never experienced before to break the bad and release in you the power of God to do the good. What you do after that, the watering of that, the nurturing of that with your words, will determine how much of an outcome you can have. See, the anointing breaks out the bad and releases the good, but then our choices water the good. And our choices will be, what are we going to say with our mouth now? If today in the altar particularly you experience a moment where you know something happened, that God did something for you, you want to change your language. You want to immediately talk about what you just received, even if you're still experiencing some symptoms or difficulties. I've seen people many times receive a touch from the Lord, but then later they lose that moment of anointing because the feeling went away. Our words are stronger than any feelings. God lets us have an initial feeling. I remember being born again when I was 11 years old. I felt different. That lasted about 10 days. After that, I thought, where'd the feeling go? Well, the feeling was over. Now it was up to me to water. Well, I was changed. You know, you get used to a hot shower, and at first it's hot to you. You take about 10 of them, it won't feel hot anymore. Why? Your whole body's response to the hot water just changed, and it won't feel hot anymore. If you're not careful, you'll make it a little bit hotter thinking it'll help you. It might scald you. Why? We tend to adjust and adapt to feelings. You don't want to go by your feelings. Faith isn't about your feelings. God allows us to experience emotional moments with him, or moments where we perceive something's just changed. Then he wants us to choose to believe it, and believing doesn't have to do with feelings. So understand, when the feelings fade, God is in that. You're not supposed to feel all the time. We'd just be a nightmarish mess of people. We went by our feelings. We can't trust feelings. We've got to trust God's word of authority. So when the feeling goes away, find the words and say them again. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a secret. You say them enough, the feeling will come back again. Why? He loves us to revisit him. He likes to rub off on us. He likes us to know we just touched his heart and he touches us back. That's the kind of intimacy that God really wants with his children. So we begin this morning, we're in Mark 11:23, and I use this because it says whosoever. Whosoever includes me, it includes you if you want to be. Whosoever won't include you unless you decide it means you. So I'm starting there for you today to decide if this means you, applies to you. At some point in your life it will. You'll want to be free of a malady that comes on your body or into your mind. You'll want to be free of that. Think, I don't want this. I don't want to put up with this. That's usually when I discover something I don't like, I'll say, I'm not putting up with this. And it might be a little while that I have to tolerate it, but all the time I'm working to displace it. And I say, I'm not putting up with this. Have you ever said that to yourself? See, when we're saying that, that's an indication that we have faith on the inside that somebody or something can change that. If we're not careful, we think we can do it by ourselves. And we find out most times we need God's help. Why? We're in a body that Scripture says is condemned to die once. But I tell my body, when it comes time to go, I'll let you know. Until then, I'm going to boss you around a bit. So, well, that sounds arrogant. No, I've learned a lot in 58 years of training this body. And I've learned to tell it what it's going to do because I know what God's Word says. It'll respond. It'll respond to me. It's not waiting for God to tell. It's waiting for me to tell it. Why, Jesus gave us that authority. So, see, I believe what some people will never believe. He said, whosoever. It means I can't make up your mind, but I can make up my mind. So I'm a whosoever. A little bit later in the same verse, he says, for whatsoever. Well, that means you can try to talk me out of it, but it won't work. Why? I'm going to make up my mind, see? So don't let anybody tell you based on their life experience that you're not the whosoever and you can't have the whatsoever. Scripture says that's for each one of us to make up our mind, our heart. When Scripture says heart, it mostly means your mind. So that means sometimes I got to change my mind. I've got to get me included in what God said. I've got to put me in the inner circle. I've got to choose that I'm going to get that benefit. And I have to remember something. For me to get in the inner circle, Jesus made the way. I will never do enough right. He did right so I can get in. I just need to trust He did it for me. And then I get in the inner circle. That's who your Jesus is. He pre-qualified you for all the goodness of God, but you are required to believe on Him to access it. And it's not on anybody else to do it for you. They can't prevent it. They can't make it happen, either one. You decide, and what happens? God makes it happen. He's still the one making it happen. So this is Jesus saying, whosoever shall say unto this mountain can be anything that is in your way that you want gone. Anything that has changed your life in a negative way. And he's particularly in Scripture talking about physical or emotional, mental issues. Say, God cares about all that? Yeah, he doesn't want his people running around in a mess. We're his children. Remember, you're in the family. He has the right DNA to fix whatever's wrong with you. So I just believe that. Why? He said, whosoever, and then here's the kicker. He says, that mountain will be removed and cast into the sea if you say it, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. It can't happen because I say it over you. That might be a seed being planted, but the seed grows as soon as you say. As soon as you don't have to wait 25 years for seed to grow. God's word is supernatural. Every time you say, it grows. Every time you speak faith, it grows. Every time you speak, whatever is wrong is convinced that you believe it. And if there's a wrong thought rooted in your mind, where you've been on medication 20 years for high blood pressure, as an example. You water the seed long enough, the doctor will say to you, I don't know what happened, but your blood pressure seems like we need to reduce your meds. Well, you don't make that decision without your doctor, but if he's the one putting you on, he's the one to take you off. Why, you're in a cooperative relationship and he knows more about it than you do. But God's the authority over even what the doctor knows. So what do you do? You just choose to believe what God says applies to you for whatsoever you're sick and tired of. See, sometimes we don't believe God because we're not aggravated enough. Why? We find an alternative, take away the aggravation or take away the pain or take away the limitation. And we keep getting by, but the underlying problem's still going on. Well, I've learned eventually if you don't take care of business, the underlying problems all come to the surface as you get older. say, oh, dear Lord, why didn't I fix this shoulder when I was 17, when it got busted, instead of waiting now? And we learned there would have been wisdom doing it earlier instead of later. Why, we get used to things being the way they are and we just accept them. God's word today will show you maybe there's something in your life you shouldn't be accepting that Jesus paid the price for and he wants you free of. Now that'll be up to you. But he shall have whatsoever he is saying. King James says whatever he saith. That really is in the present tense. Whatever you are saying. So you might have to keep doing some saying for a while. I've seen in my life some of the saying takes some years instead of some days. But sometimes things that should take years only take days because he's supernatural. Amen. Now, I've decided to let him be as super as he wants to be. Sometimes I say it just like that. Jesus, show off if you want to. I'm ready. Why? I would enjoy him showing himself real in my life so I can tell everybody. When you get really good at sharing what Jesus is doing for you, you see more super in your life. That's how he works. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to think about what that really means. You begin to give him praise and give him glory. It expedites the process of faith working in you. And it causes the enemy to turn loose of anything he's holding on to, trying to hold you back from. He's supernatural. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, I want to spend a little time here because he's talking to his kids here. This is an Old Testament truth that applies to the New Testament. We just got more grace and more good and more easy in the New Testament. But this is about God's word. It says, my son, my kids, attend to my words. Pay attention to what God's word is. Incline your ears unto my sayings. In other words, you want to be hearing. You want to shut other thoughts down, other things down, and hear. You know, one of the greatest annoyances in my life is people think when they're on their phone and I'm talking to them that I would perceive I still have their ears. It's hard for people to do one thing with their ears and another thing with their eyes without their mind shutting one down to do the other. So you'll want to learn regarding that when he's pointing some things out here. He said, kids, learn to let your eye gate and your ear gate be about my word, that when we particularly want something, we might need to focus on it a little bit and really hear it and see it. Attend to my words. And he tells us the ways we do that. Incline your ears unto my sayings. That means when somebody's talking about God's word, particularly speaking it, shut everything else down. Scripture says hearing God's word is the hearing of faith. It means that faith that God's worked in my life, faith that God works in the Lord Jesus, will be imparted to you through God's word. Now, that's up to you. Keep them before your eyes. So he's got our ears and he's got our eyes. We learn to write things down or bring them up or post them here and there. Why? God's word's forever settled in heaven, but it's not forever settled in our heart. Our mind will carry what we have given it the most impression of. It's like it's being stamped there. Nothing in your mind is indelible in this life. You have to keep stamping it into your mind. If you don't know that yet, things you know today, you'll forget eventually unless you keep bringing it before your mind to give it consideration. Now, keep them in your heart, King James says. It means mind. Keep them in your mind. Keep in mind what the Word of God says today. If you have an experience with the Lord, he prompts you to come for prayer. You'll want to keep in mind what God said he would do for you and rehearse that in your mind. Lord Jesus, I thank you on Sunday. What is this? The 29th. Sunday, the 29th of September 2019, I received this from you by faith. I thank you that I got it. I thank you that it's manifesting in my life, and I stand on the scripture here. That's right. And then you want some of God's word to come out of your mouth. Why? It connects you to that moment again and again and again. And it'll water the seed again and again and again. Keep them in your mind. For they are life unto those that find them. That word life literally means it will revive you from the dead. It will maintain you and sustain your zest for life. It'll only not bring you back. It'll kickstart you. and give you a zest. That means a joy. That means an empowerment. That literally means an anointing to do things you didn't do before, couldn't do before, didn't imagine before. What does Scripture say? It says that He'll make a new creation out of us. God's Word has that ability. Every time you hear it, it's a matter of you deciding you want it or not from God's Word. See, we either get it or not. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of it. Well, I haven't been with God very much this week. Get over it. Be with Him in the moment. I mean, just going to encourage you. You're going to have moments where you think, oh, I didn't really do what I was supposed to. Welcome to humanity. We're fallen. But we get up and stand upright when we hear God's Word and say, I am having this. Why? It's not that we deserve it. It's that He did it for us. He did it because we didn't deserve it. He knows we still don't deserve it, and He doesn't care about that anymore. Don't you love a Jesus that doesn't care we don't deserve it? He's giving anyway. But He does want us to appreciate it and not take Him for granted. To revive, to maintain, to sustain. You may have some hope in God that died in you long ago that He wants to kickstart today. The healing anointing will do that. It's the first thing it will do is stir up hope in God for something that you thought hope was dead on. Why, hearing God's Word stirs up dead things. That's what resurrection does. Now, life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. That means anything that's gone wrong, He'll fix. He has life for that. He has a kickstart for that. I have countless stories where I've experienced that, from immediate things to things that took time. Why, the Holy Spirit's your partner, and He will make sure God's Word comes true for you if you will stick with Him. You got to stick with Him. When people say, well, that didn't work for me, well, then you did something wrong. I'd find out what it is and fix it. That's what I'd do. I mean, anything else in life. If I get a new gadget and I can't get it to fire up, I figure out how to get it to fire up, or it's going back to the store and I'm getting me my money back. Right. Well, Jesus did this for you. You can't get it back, but you have to make it work. So how do I turn this thing on? Now, He says health to all your flesh. That means to deliver you into physical healing and to deliver you into soundness of mind. Many people take pills for both. You can if you want to, but He'll take away the cause that's made you need the pills. And His cause doesn't have any negative side effects. When you get what He has to offer, you get some positive side effects. It's not good to just mask the pain. It's great to have it gone where you don't need a mask anymore. It's okay to take a pill if it helps you think straight, but how much better to have your mind fixed than need a pill? It's cheaper too, tell you what. Now, this is just who He is. And I want to point something. This is the Old Testament. We got a better covenant than that. But He goes on to say something about our heart in verse 23 that I want to bring out. Keep your heart, which means your mind. Keep your mind with your words. He's talking about using words to change our mind. I will endeavor today to change your mind with God's Word coming out of my mouth, but it doesn't have the power of change until you make it your words. Your words have the power of change over you, particularly when they are God's Word. But you see, whatever authority you place over you, it will be demonstrated in your words. If it's you and your thinking, then you are the God of you. If it's the world and the way the enemy walks in darkness and you buy into the darkness, then you're letting the enemy have some lordship over you. But if you take God's Word and say, this is the highest truth, you are making Jesus Lord of you. And the power and authority in His name can be released in you, in your body, and in your mind. That means He has something better than the version of you now that you can have. If you trust Him, I choose to believe that. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your mouth, and your mind will be right. Change your vocabulary. I keep in my life trying to write off negative words, because they don't do anybody any good. I try to find ways to say things and convey things that aren't full of negativity. Why we all like each other better when we do that. Why we're programmed for the positive, believe it or not. And the more of that we get, the happier we are, better we'll feel. Now, keep your heart with all diligence. We've got to do it for ourselves. For out of your own heart comes the issues of life. That phrase, issues of life, means it's going to expand the limits and borders of what we get to go into or what we are admitted to. It changes where we can gain entrance. It changes our standing in situations. God gives us access to things we didn't have access to before because we change what's coming out of our mouth. See, I'm very aware of the kinds of ministry that want to help change people's station in the natural. We can do that. We should be a part of that. But there's something much higher we can do. Change the way somebody thinks. Then get them to start talking about the change in their thinking. Have them start to embrace hope and faith will be stirred. Have them see it's not them themselves, it's Jesus working through them. See, we're not into the power of positive thinking. It has to be the power of God's words. See, now that'll change our thinking and it'll get more positive. But when we can help a person change their mind and help them change their words, will change their lives. Jesus demonstrated that over and over and over again. And I'll be honest with you, that's how we allow him to become our Lord. Amen. It's not, well, I'm going to battle every sin under the sun until I don't do any sin. Good luck with that. That's in your own strength. You'll fail. But when you battle the Holy Spirit's way, you get God's word and say, this is confronting me. God's word says I should be different than I am. Now today a lot of people make excuses for how they are and say, well, God's grace is sufficient. His grace comes in when we recognize we need to change. And his grace is the power to change coming through the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, you want to change your ways, change your thought life first. So we hear God's word again and again and again. And Scripture says we renew our mind to be like Jesus. You can't do that thinking happy thoughts. You've got to think God thoughts. God thoughts aren't always happy. Sometimes they have a stinger in them. But the stinger, instead of injecting poison, removes the poison. That's how you got to see it. It's not the same stinger that the devil has to try to take you out. It's the one with the remedy. He's the healing and he's the cure. Every time, always, that's what he has in mind. He's always working together for our good. Now, if we want to expand the limits and borders of what we get to experience in life, we do it this way. I use physical examples today because we're talking about physical things. Most people have physical challenges or even emotional challenges. I don't know anybody who doesn't, just some people don't want to talk about it. So when you bring something up, they're like, and they change their expression, like, let's not go there. Okay, let's not go there. I'll respect that. But at the mention of there being an inequity, when we hear God's word, it reveals the areas where we are not that yet, or we are missing out on something. That's what the devil has stolen from you to date. Don't get too worked up over that. He's after everybody's anything he can get. But Jesus is out to restore everybody's everything that the devil tried to hold back, you see. And this is how he does it. You hear God's word and you just decide, I'm going to adopt that as my new philosophy. I choose to believe it. That moment, you may not see any change in you. Well, I bet if you go home and start talking to your family about the new you, they're going to say, Dad, I don't see that yet. Or who you think you're fooling, the devil. You really believe that? Uh-huh. What's going to happen? Eventually, Dad's going to have a showing for what he chose to believe because he's holding on to it. He's saying, what's he doing? Testimony by faith. Saying, I'm a changed person. Most of the time in my life where I've received healing or something miraculous from the Lord, the testimony came by faith before the manifestation came. I started talking about the outcome. I started talking about the situation, started talking about the promotion, started talking about self-control. I started talking about not being bound by natural genetics to a problematic body, things like that. You have to choose what it is you want bad enough to change your mind about. And if you can change your mind, he can change anything for you. He said, whosoever can have whatsoever. Well, sometimes there's an ugly between being the whosoever and the whatsoever that we say, but what about, I've had this condition for 25 years, so what about it? Either you're the whosoever or you're not, for the whatsoever or not, and you get to decide. There, I put it on you. Why? We get to have what we want, you see. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. God went so far as to say, want to have a longer life? Change your words to be the same as God's words. I'd do that if I was you. And I'd say, it's life more abundantly. See, Old Testament just says we get a lot of years. That was decent. But I'd like a lot of years with not a lot of problems. So I look to the New Testament and I say, all right, God, you're going to do that without any problems or strings attached. Why? He wants to. He wants to get the most to you that he can. So I don't know very much word yet. Get a hold of what I'm telling you today and you'll have enough to get it. See, God's not trying to create problems and difficulties for his kids. He tries to make it easy. He says, hear the word and believe it. And you can have whatsoever you say if you'll begin to say it. I believe that. Now, we live under the new law. The new law is the law of your anointed words changing your future. Your anointed words even having the ability to reach into your past and undo some things. Your anointed words that are really God saying, let's update the version of what's in the Bible to come out of your mouth and apply it directly to your life. It's kind of like an alteration. I looked at you and the Holy Spirit told me. So my seamstress is here, Taylor. She can do anything. And about to take her pile of clothes. But our words have the ability to transform us, to fit into whatever we just said. God's word coming out of our mouth is suddenly customized to our life. Nobody can better say God's desire for you than you. Not your spouse, not your kids. Say, but the Holy Spirit, yeah, he's the one speaking through you. He knows the stuff you're not willing to say or don't even know yet, and he can fix it. So if I'm standing before Nancy for a fitting and I say, you know, take 3 inches out of the backside of this garment, she'll say, okay, let's pin it up. Then she'll say, well, that just caused this to need this to happen over here. And shouldn't I go ahead and fix it that way? I mean, we took 3 inches out there. Now the pants are an inch too long in the back. Shouldn't we? Fix me up however I need to be. You're the doctor. See, if we give God that kind of room, he goes beyond what we know to ask for. Says he wants to give us more than we could ask or think. Why? I don't have to think it all through. I just have to trust him. Say, God, you've got this. You've got my life. You know what's coming down the pike. You know what's gonna help me now stay out of trouble later. Let's just go ahead and do it. If I were to send you today to a plastic surgeon to fix the feature you least liked about something, and it was private, and you could go do it, and it was free. And he went. You went in there and said, okay, I'm here. I get one procedure today. What will it be? Oh, give me a tummy tuck. Or, oh, raise my eyebrows. Or, oh, I've never liked my ears. I mean, you'd probably have something because you've looked in the mirror and been more critical of yourself than you ever ought to be, because that's just kind of what we do. We look at people we think have something better than we have, and we compare to it, which Scripture says is foolish. Then we're even more foolish, it says, to compare ourselves to ourselves. Looking in the mirror saying, I wish I could be like this. What are we to compare to? What God's word says, and begin pronouncing it. Then let the master go to work. See, there's something far more important than the tummy tuck or things we think will make us feel better or look better. He wants to give us a new kind of life. That means we look in the mirror and say, well, I'm going to do the best I can to take care of this body, but I'm going to get a new one day anyway, and it'll be flat right there. See? And you just kind of move past that. What do we get more eternally minded, and it's a happier, healthier way to live. See, the world is so temporal minded that people are constantly wanting to change something about them so they can feel good about them, or even put out a portrait or a picture or an image that isn't even real of them. Here I am getting up in the morning, and they've had an hour to work on what they look like getting up. I see those and think, yeah, nobody looks like that when they get up. I know better. See, especially if they're over 20, you know, starts to change over 20 right about there. Now, we live under a new law. You choose to submit to the new law of your words, or you fall subject to the old law. The old law has the curse attached to it, where we're just talking shop talk like the world does. It'll make you just like the world, because the image you have for your future lines up with the image the world has for its future. Better live while you can, because you're going to die. And it makes you make stupid decisions that you're going to pay for forever. God wants you to make a wise decision so you get blessed forever. What a difference. But it's changing our mind to choose to believe the new law applies to us. When you're born again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, you're not going to get this till you do, because you come under a new set of laws. You come under the laws of heaven that displace the corruption of the earth. It doesn't mean we don't obey natural laws. Scripture tells us in the New Testament we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. I'm talking about the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You've got to be in Him to have those laws, the new laws. But the new law is this: your words will change your life. When they're God's words, it'll change it into God's perfect life for you. I choose to believe that. I choose to look at the calendar, look at the clock, and say, it is not too late for me. Why? If I just figured something out, I'm not going to beat myself up over being so dumb I just got it. Instead, I'm going to say, thank God wisdom's still at work in my life. And I just got a hold of this, and I'm receiving it now. I'm the whosoever He's talking about, and that's the whatsoever I want. And I just set off to go get it. How do you go get it? You get around faith-filled people that speak God's language, and you'll learn a phrase or two you didn't know before. Getting ready to go to Guatemala, part of the getting ready to go is learn some phrases. You best learn the phrases the quickest by being around people who know them and know how to say them without you just trying to read them off the page. See, I can read the scripture to you, but you get more out of it when I talk about putting it in your life and applying it. You understand the concept. Well, you'll get the whole phrase. And if you need the bathroom, you know how to ask for the bathroom. That'll be important for those that go. So well, they've already learned that. See, but it's also important. How do I get back to the hotel? And have the address in your phone so you can point at the address so they can tell you. And it's important to have a basic understanding. But you know, if you get a little understanding, God will give you wisdom. He said if you're digging for the understanding, He'll give you His heart on the matter. Why, He's trying to get it to us the easiest way that He can. That's who He is. It says in Romans 8:2, this is our new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, delivered from the law of sin and death. That means when you get delivered into the new set of laws, you change your mind. God is a good God. I am a whosoever in His list. I am on His list for good things. Why, He doesn't have a list for bad things. He never did. That was a lie. That was the biggest lie of the devil in the earth. God's responsible for everything. No, He's responsible for the good. The devil is responsible for the not good. So if there is a list of not good, God's not holding it or holding it against you. He is looking at the good list saying, tell me what you want off the list. Well, He's got a list that's predetermined. And your life is predetermined in God to get the whole list. Did you know that? Scripture says you're predestinated to get everything on God's list. That means beyond your imagination, He has a list that you can't imagine. That's why I say don't limit Him to just what you can imagine. He has more for you than you can imagine. Scripture says His thoughts and His ways are higher than ours. It doesn't say we can't have it. He doesn't say that to frustrate us and think, well, I'm on the hopeless list. No, you're on the hope-filled list. You just got to decide you want to be. Be that whosoever and say, you know, He's not bound by my limitations. They only stop me. I'm going to get rid of the limitations. I choose to abolish the old law. See, when there's a new law in the land, what really happens is you become a citizen of heaven when you're born again. You fall subject to the higher law, but the only way that you can operate in the higher law is you've got to know what it is. And you say it out of your mouth, I am submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only my Savior, He's my Lord. And I might yield my life to Him, but He gives me heaven in return. He gives me heaven while I'm walking, talking, and breathing in the earth. I get more and more of Him, and I don't have to wait until then for things to be fixed that are wrong. I like that. Now, the new life in Christ Jesus should change. It did change how God sees me now. He sees me redeemed. He doesn't see me with my problems. He sees me free of the problems. So when we say, God, I want, He says, I already did that for you. We have to be a whosoever that says the whatsoever. God, you said in 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes I've already been healed. That's me. I'm on that list. I'm in that covenant. You did that for me. I receive that for me. I put myself in that camp and I displace the old law. You're not looking at me, judging me by the Ten Commandments. You're judging me by faith. Why, you'll mess up a commandment once in a while. We try not to. We're supposed to try not to. But the commandments were to show us right and wrong. Now that we know the difference between right and wrong, we're supposed to press on to the right and we'll get better instead of look at the wrong and not do anything. See, people give up on God because they look at what's wrong in their life and say, well, He was really God. He'd do something about the mess in my life. He took away His ability to do that, gave it to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to you. You have the, when you make Jesus Lord of that part of your life, He can then move to do something. It says we're to live and move and have our being in Him. That means we're going to Him for everything, saying, you can fix this. This inequity in me, this thing that's wrong in me is not your will. Your will is to set me free. Then we look for the scripture that'll help us find the freedom that we're after. Now, that new law changes that, but it changes me in that I'm free to change according to my words. God's not in control of your destiny. That's a lie. You're in control of your destiny. When you come to know the Lord Jesus, He says, Jill, you're in charge now. What can I do for you? What? That's what Jesus literally does. And when we don't know what to ask for, we don't ask. And we think, well, I've got to fix some things before He can do for me. That's old covenant. That's striving to line up to be Jesus without His help. Good luck with that. That's why the Holy Spirit's our helper. We can't do that on our own. So what do? We step back and think, well, this is not for me. And usually people slide into old lifestyle and foolishness and they get in bigger trouble. Why? It gives the enemy territory. So what do? By our words, we take the territory back. I am the healed that Jesus made whole when He rose from the grave, and I'm getting mine. What is that, God's medicine? God's medicine to change things. The power of God's authority coming out of our own mouth. So I'm free to change anything by my words, but they need to line up with God's words. You can't just go spouting off at the mouth, I want to be 6'5", and I want to, whatever, you know. Good luck with that, too. But if you can find it in the Scripture, and you can say, I'm the whosoever in that, because He said up here, Son, my Son. Well, when we belong to Jesus, we become His child. You see, we're the Father's child. Jesus said, you only come to the Father by me. That means we have a relationship with Father God again. What's Father God want to do? Make it like it was before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Fix us back. We really can't imagine what that's like, but that's what He has for us. That's what He's saying. So I'm free to change according to God's word going into my mouth. So I'm going to tell you this. If you can find it in God's word, and it's written to the New Testament church, and you're born again, it's for you. You're not restricted because of non-performance. You're not restricted for your past ignorance. You'll be restricted from your future ignorance. Because Scripture says even in the Old Covenant, God's people are destroyed only for one reason, a lack of knowledge. It's not being the smartest person on the block. They get destroyed. It's having the knowledge of God. What's God say? What is the displacing authority that puts me under the higher law? How do I say the new law out of my mouth that every knee has to bow just like it does to the name of Jesus? See, we're meant to carry that kind of authority with God's word. Say, I am not putting up with this. If the doctor tells you that there's something wrong with your child, so sometimes it's easier for us to have faith for others. I see that happen in parents all the time, where parents might be suffering in three areas of their life, but the enemy comes against their child. It's easy to believe God's a good God. This is my baby. Well, it's still going to be your baby when he's 80. God's still a good God. Just let him be whosoever then. But when a child is under your care, parents have a lot to say about their kids. So what do you speak life over that child? Say, God, this child is my child, just like I'm your child. What's good for me is going to them. Why? God's generational. He likes to pass on the blessing. Now, I'm free to change according to my words. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, by your words you shall be justified, or you're going to get what's coming to you from God, or be condemned and get what's coming to you from the devil. Ignorance lets the devil rule and keeps you sick. The word of God, the healing scriptures in particular, the power of the Holy Spirit in demonstration will give you the words to be justified. What does that mean? Just as if I didn't have the disease, just as if I'd never sinned, just as if, he's talking about the atonement. We're in that season in the Jewish calendar where Jesus came for our atonement, where God moved in the Old Testament church to fix things that were wrong for people. He made a celebration of it every year, and they had a feast around it. Why? They knew they could get something fixed if they came to God with the right heart. Jesus did a wonderful thing in giving us full access all the time. All we have to do is fall under the new covenant and change our words. I'll tell you another secret. Usually you'll change your words and your vocabulary before you can change your mind. And you'll be saying it and thinking, this sounds ridiculous. Thank you, Jesus, my body is pain-free and I'm not having arthritis. Not any kind of form of it, not the rheumatoid, not the other kind. I can't think of all of them right now, but I know people dealing with that I pray for. I'm not having that. That wasn't your will for me. By Jesus' stripes I've been healed. And you can be experiencing pain in the moment. And you say, well, somebody says to you, well, how are you? I'm the healed. I'm dealing with a little pain. Why? You have to be worried about talking. The pain isn't proof of your disease. It's a symptom of the disease.
That's right.
The proof of your healing is what you choose to believe and what you choose to say. And I don't stop by just saying I'm. I say Jesus is my healer. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed and I'm getting better. Say, Pastor, really? Yeah, you'll change your words in accordance to what happens in your heart. Now, you remember the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That word Christ means the anointing. You won't do this on your own. You don't have enough self-discipline to do it right. You, in the process of receiving from God, will feel like, uh-oh, I have failed. He's not moved by your failure. He's moved by your words. So when you have a blip on the screen, say, that was nothing more than a blip on the screen. Have you ever been in the hospital room with a loved one and you're watching their monitors and you're all intense and their heart rate's just going real normal? All of a sudden it goes, whoop. What was that? What was that? We get freaked out or something we don't understand. The ones trained in there aren't freaking out. The nurses out at the station watching things remotely are not freaking out. Why? It's a blip. Now, if you get in a pattern, you got a problem. So what do? We say, that was a blip. My pattern is I'm speaking life. My pattern is I'm believing God. My pattern is going to lead to my success. My discipline is my pattern, not my moment of failure. Now, that's real full of grace for you. So we want to talk about progressive examples of receiving healing. Today, my physical health is a process of receiving things from God along the way. And then listening to what the Holy Spirit says to do to keep my healing. What does that mean? When God speaks healing over you and you receive it, it's yours. But your body, while in recovery, will try to tell you it isn't recovering. Why? We have a mind that's prone to doubt. We have a world that is looking at the moment situation rather than what we're saying, because the world isn't governed by getting what it says. Did you know that? I've heard people say, oh, you're saying something terrible. If they're not in the new covenant, it doesn't apply to them that they're going to get their words. That's a new covenant truth. And it's only for those in covenant. I want you to know that. So you're worried about somebody out in the world saying that, oh, he's got MS. Don't worry about that. It has no power over you. Don't give it another thought. If it gets in your thought mind, say, your thought life, say, well, I'm the healed and whole, and I'm not having that in Jesus' name. And I'm receiving my healing from you. You're not in denial that it's come against your body. You're just saying, I'm changing that. I'm having that change. Now, God's word is meant to challenge our inequities. I want to tell you a little story, then we're gonna close the service and open the altar. I'm going to step back for a moment, just listen to the Lord. But if during this story particularly, the Holy Spirit prompts you to respond in faith, and then you'll want to. You'll want to come for prayer today. Why? I've just set you up for change. God's way. It's His way. Now, His word will challenge whatever's wrong. I told you a few weeks ago, church should be like a locker room in one regard, where you feel like, oh, don't look at me. And if something's about you or applies to you, we want to recoil. We ought to say, give it to me. God, give it to me. That is all about me. See, we've got a wrong response to God. We want to recoil because we say, oh, I don't have that yet. Welcome to being a normal person. We hear God's word, and it doesn't affirm us in everything. It affirms Jesus. Did you know that? The word affirms Jesus, and when it affirms Him and it doesn't affirm us, we haven't given Him lordship of that place yet. And sometimes just because we didn't know, hadn't heard it. First few times you hear God's word, it doesn't sting at first. Think, oh, I never knew that. But you step out a little bit and think, well, that didn't work for me. In 10 years you hear it again, you think, stubbornness rises up. Well, that didn't work last time. Well, you were more ignorant last time. I hope if you're coming to church here, you'll be less ignorant all the time. So, Pastor, that's a strong word. That's a scriptural word. That's a scriptural word, so I just kind of, if I call it like it is, it'll help you go, I don't want to be ignorant. Anyway, that's how I feel when I'm around smart people. I don't want to be ignorant, so I do. I listen really good. Then I adopt the same thinking and vocabulary if it's going to benefit me somehow. God's word is meant to challenge our inequities. This is Acts 14. This is the New Testament church after Jesus had ascended and gone to heaven, but His Holy Spirit was with His people. His Holy Spirit's with you now. His Holy Spirit's here now as I'm speaking. If anything's working on you, it isn't Pastor, it's Holy Spirit. I'm just saying the things He wishes for you to hear. Why? Sometimes we're not in tune to His voice, so we have to hear it through human voice. That's just what He's chosen to do. He calls it the foolishness of preaching, that God would choose a person just to speak out. Why? He said at the hearing of it, the captive would be made free. So this is a little short story. I picked the shortest one I could to prove the point. Why? Make it easy for you. Now, this is Acts 14, verse 8, and there was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. That means his feet could never produce what they were supposed to. Something wasn't working right. He was a cripple from his mother's womb, been that way since he was born, who had never walked. He had never known what he was about to receive. He could only wish for it. He had never experienced that part of his life being right. It had always been wrong. He had one advantage over many people today in that he knew it wasn't his fault. Although in the Old Testament, they used to say, whose sin is it? The parents, the grandparents, or the one being born? That they were born with something wrong. I love Jesus' answer. He said, one for any of those reasons, but for the glory of God so God can fix it. If there's something wrong with you, just adopt in your thinking, God did not do this to me, and He gets glory when it's fixed. And I just, He's only a good God. Don't describe Him as something else. Muddy the water of your healing, you see. He's only a good God. The same heard Paul speak. Wasn't even hearing Jesus. Was hearing Paul. But you know what? Paul was full of the Holy Ghost. See, sometimes you got to hear yourself, what I say, be over in the Spirit, where you've worshiped the Lord a little while, and you're particularly in your zone spiritually. So what is that, Pastor? When you worship the Lord, if you've ever really been a worshiper, you've experienced that. Thought, wow, this is amazing. I feel so good worshiping the Lord. That's touching His heart, and He touches back. Now, this is Paul. He heard Paul speak, who steadfastly was looking at the crippled man. He zeroed in on him. That's what happens in an altar when you get one-on-one ministries. The Holy Spirit's zeroing in on you. It isn't just Paul here. It's the Holy Spirit working through Paul. But Paul took a focus on the man with the problem, and the man's problem was obvious. He didn't have to say, Brother Paul, I'm believing God for a miracle because I've been a cripple forever. It was obvious. Understand, with God, it's always obvious what's wrong because it's more obvious to Him how to make it right. That's what Jesus rose from the grave for. Make it right. The same heard Paul speak. Today, if you're hearing me speak, you're really hearing the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying the things he's convinced me need to be said. Who steadfastly beholding him could perceive that the man had faith to be healed. The man had a change when he was hearing Paul speak the Holy Spirit's word. Now, you ought to be able to perceive that better than I can, but there's some in the house today that I was able to speak words to help change your mind. And a changed mind doesn't say, well, maybe. No, get rid of that. That's doubt and unbelief. And you got to struggle to say maybe. You haven't had any changed mind yet. You just have a little wishful thinking. Now, by the time you leave your seat and get to the altar and begin to give him thanks, you can get a changed mind. Well, he doesn't want us to ever leave the same. He wants us to get what he's giving every time. See, it changes our expectation at church to not just hear the promises of God, but to get to receive from them. If we hear and choose to be changed, I believe that's God's desire for the earth in this hour is an outpouring of his power to meet up with the authority in his word for those that will believe. Now, and perceiving that the man had faith to be healed, Paul said with a loud voice. Sometimes you got to do something to displace what's wrong. Sometimes the preacher will. Sometimes you'll say, why does pastor get so animated? Sometimes I'm displacing garbage. And I don't know how you do it, but you know, I kind of kick it out of the room. Get rid of it. Let's get rid of it once and for all. Kind of, and sometimes it's our wrong thinking. Sometimes you've got to shout to God with a voice of triumph. What does it do? You displace whatever's wrong by saying, I've got the victory. And you've got the victory. Say, I wonder what the victory's about. I just get it. You'll figure out what it's about. He'll show it to you. Now, why? He's that good that he'll give it before we understand it. Understand that about you. You're not going to get this in your mind. You're going to receive it by faith, and he'll change your mind. But he'll give it to you, and it'll help your mind change. I've got it now. I remember saying, I've got it now to a number of things. And my thinking was affected, but it took a while before my body was affected. Now, and he said, stand up on your feet. He yelled at him, stand up. So, well, that seems extreme. You serve an extreme God. He sometimes will go to extreme means to get your attention. And you know, what was Paul really doing? Commanding the man's body that couldn't stand to stand anyway. Today, when you receive by faith, I'll tell you, do something you couldn't do before. You say, why would you do that? Because Jesus did it. That's why. I'm giving you the shortest example I can for sake of time, because I know it's past 11:30. I'm not even going to look, but I know it is. We're almost done. He said with a loud voice. You might need to say it with a loud voice. I tend to not yell at people in the altar, right? I'll yell at the devil sometime. I don't yell at people. But you should. You should yell at the devil. You should yell at your body. So I've never done that. That sounds ridiculous. I've yelled at my body. It responded. You just have to decide. Am I going to be fully committed in it? You say, well, I don't want to do that in front of people. All right, that's up to you. But, you know, it should be the same in front of people, even maybe more fun. Why, you're begging God to show off in front of your friends. You're making a commitment in front of your friends. Most people that go to the gym, unless they work out and are accountable to somebody else, they don't keep it up. That's kind of a picture of how healing and deliverance works. You need some partners in your restoration to be for you, be with you. To not look at what they see or listen to what you feel. Say, I was there when you received. That's powerful. Said with a loud voice of displacement, stand on your feet. And the man responded by leaping up. How in the world could he leap up if he never walked? There was a moment where faith was stirred in the man. And he felt inspired to do something he couldn't do before. And he not only did it, he walked away healed and whole. You decide today what you want to receive from the Lord. But we're a full gospel church. That means if it's in the New Testament, it's for us. Pastor believes it. He's going to preach it. And you got to decide if it's for you or not. You're the whosoever. You got to decide if you want to be that whosoever today. And remember, he didn't just say physical things. He said even things that challenge our mind. remember going to Bible school and saying, I seem to have a problem processing scripture. How could God call me to be a preacher when I can't understand what the Bible says? Something must be wrong with me. I said that for several months, and then I decided, I better stop saying something wrong with me. I better start saying I'm getting reprogrammed so I can get it. I better start saying out of my mouth the answer that I want from God instead of the mess that I'm in. Well, he's turning a deaf ear against your mess. He wants to hear you say the solution. He says, there you go. There you go. Why? Remember, he's forgotten your sin. Our greatest sin is the one of ignorance to God's word. Did you know that? So when we're ignorant to God's word, he's going, what? What are they even talking about? What? That's one of my kids. That's just a bunch of gibberish. But all of a sudden, when you're, I don't know, 9-month-old, is that when they start to say a word? When do they start to say first word? Around then? Around a year, he's saying, well, she's saying yes to 9 months. You're saying yes to a year. That's the difference between dads and moms. See, probably. Around one, she says, you're more right. See, there you go. When your little kid's just full of gibberish, you get used to that, and you're just like, the first time they say anything that sounds like anything, mama's, oh, their first word's mama, and daddy's like, what about me? And daddy goes, daddy loves, daddy gives candy, daddy gives you toys, and pretty soon, daddy. And you'd think the whole earth stopped on its rotation because your kid said something that sounded like an intelligent word. Understand why you are that way. That's how your Heavenly Father is. You say one thing that is somewhat discernible, he will give you the benefit of the doubt and say, I hear my word in them. That's my kid, and they get everything that I have for them. And he immediately transfers to you the goodness of his will. Stand to your feet. Now, we're gonna close. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing, but if you're here and faith was stirred in your heart, faith should have leapt in you at some point. I'm getting that for me. There's some brokenness he wants to restore. There's some sickness that he wants to heal. There's some discontentment with how the body is working, particularly in the organs today, and you need help. You say, how do you know? The Holy Spirit speaking that into my ear as I walked right over here. No, I don't know who it is. I don't care who it is. But he's literally here for you to choose to receive from him. I'm going to tell you, you receive from him today, change your words. Your words will help change your mind. You'll see it come to pass. He said, whatsoever, we can have whatsoever we say when we're a whosoever. So Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful for the power of displacement in your word, always to move us from the curse to the blessing, always to move us forward in the new covenant where you gave us everything. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today. It's not just two or three gathered together. It's a small multitude gathered together today in your presence to receive what you're giving us. So, Father, I thank you as the altar is open. Those that have their faith stirred this morning, they'll come just for a prayer of agreement to receive from you. Father, I know even now you are displacing the works of darkness and giving us the ability to walk into light, to walk into a new light, a new tomorrow, a new revelation that will change everything and change the future. And it is not too late. If we live and breathe, we can breathe in air and speak out words. Your word, Lord God's forever settled in heaven, and you won't change your mind. You won't make an exception and bar us from the blessing. You call us all in. You love your kids even when they've messed something up. You say, well, they're still mine because they're talking like me. Now, Father, we identify ourselves with you this morning, and we receive from the work of the atonement. Jesus didn't just heal us from sickness and disease. He saved us from sin and the ravages of it. So we're here today, Heavenly Father, to receive everything Jesus did for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.